Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Michael Bagrim is a South African politician and Labour lawyer. He joins us this morning. Michael, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm going well, thank you. And you?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. It just seemed to me to be almost inappropriate yesterday. We are fighting for the survival of our manufacturing industry, of many, many of parts of the South African economy that is in dire, dire straits. We know how high our unemployment is. Would this have been a smart time? Is this a smart time to down tools in protest?
Well, certainly not. A couple of issues you have to take into account. First of all, obviously no one got increases during the COVID pandemic. And so this is the second year running where the increases are going to be minimal. In fact, people are saying they're going backwards. That being said, you're quite right. We've got the highest unemployment in the world. We have it growing every single quarter. When you look at the quarterly review, the unemployment's getting bigger and bigger. That industry's on its knees. You could basically bring in goods into South Africa far cheaper than what you can produce them over here. And so, yes, it is a real problem. And the bottom line is that when you have a strike, the NUMSA don't have strike funds, so you don't earn. So if you get that extra 1 or maybe 2% because you've struck and you come to an agreement, they are talking about an agreement, by the way. Mm-hmm. Last night they were in talks and it looks like it's bringing them quite close together. But let's say you get that extra 1% and you haven't earned for a week, and that'll take you, well, I think the economists are telling us maybe 2 years to catch up on what you've lost out on 2 weeks' salary. So it doesn't help anyone. Certainly doesn't help the economy, and most of all, it doesn't help the worker. So we've got a problem, but there are rights. We've got some of the most forward-thinking labor laws in the world, and those rights need to be respected, understood, and implemented. I can't point fingers and say you can't strike.
Right.
What I can say is that we need the leadership, the union leadership, to think this through more carefully. They need to have lateral thinkers there, because if you're going to have a strike in the circumstances in which South Africa finds itself, and that industry is an impossible task, absolutely impossible. I can understand it in a wealthy country and where people have strike funds.
The other aspect, of course, is that given the high unemployment rate, and you spoke about forward-thinking labor laws, which on paper are absolutely magnificent, but at the same time, that does impede employment. Many anecdotal cases, and these are all anecdotal, where I chat to people and they say, look, they do need to, in their business, they actually need more people, but it's such a, you know, they're so nervous to take on more people because that becomes such a headache, potentially.
Well, I must tell you, I've been practicing labor law. I think I'm now in my 37th year of labor law. It sounds a bit weird, but there you have it. Probably your average listener is younger than the amount of time I've spent practicing labor law, and it's not anecdotal. Small business is being strangled by the regulatory authority and by the harsh labor regulations we have in this country. That's clear. I mean, I can tell you hundreds of examples, and it's certainly not anecdotal with me because I go through this every single day.
This is what you live. This is your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. My bread and butter. Look, the laws are good for labor lawyers because they're complicated. They're harsh. They strangle businesses, and we've got to find ways around them. And I spend a lot of my time looking at different ways of skinning that cat. The bottom line is, yes, we need to deregulate completely. We need to, especially small business. I mean, let's be politically correct. Let's be woke about it and say that let's deregulate small businesses in formerly disadvantaged areas. You can't get more woke than that. Yeah. And the government still doesn't want to listen to me. I mean, that's why I'm sitting in politics. I'm trying all the time, every day. Over this pandemic, we were looking at the problems we've had with the UIF and compensation fund. I've written 10,000 emails to officials in the last 18 months from my office, just little of me and the computer. And I'm trying to show how they're strangling business. And each time I give them an example, each time they then try and sort it out, of the 10,000, and maybe I've been successful with about 2,000, the 8,000 are just going to languish, shrivel up, and die.
Yeah.
And this is small business. And we know the economists are telling us small business is the engine room for job creation in South Africa and in the world. And it's right here with us now. It's not like we're saying this is going to be the future. Big business is not creating jobs. They're creating space for computers, for technology, for mechanics, that sort of thing. What we need is small business to survive and thrive in South Africa, and our laws are strangling it. And I can give you story after story where I can show exactly that. But, you know, when Tito Mboweni was our Minister of Finance, he said just that. He said we must deregulate to the extent that small business must be uncoupled from the bargaining councils. Now, that's a bit technical for the listener, but the reality is that a small business running a sponsor shop is held by the same laws as Pick and Pay. It doesn't make sense.
Which makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any hope that sense will prevail?
Well, I think but, so.
Let me answer that.
I do believe so. I haven't given up hope.
Right.
A lot of people say, well, what are you doing there? I've sat in the South African Parliament for 7 years.
Right.
And for 7 years, I've been chipping away at the Labour portfolio, the Department of Employment and Labour Portfolio Committee of the government. And when I first came in, I found that the majority of the members of that portfolio, those are the people who are making the laws, changing the laws. They haven't read the Labour Relations Act. We started a small tutorial with people, obviously, who hadn't read anything at all. And they're sitting there at the pinnacle of our labor legislation. It's sad, but I'm finding that even people sitting in the ruling party, governing party, people sitting in other smaller parties, they are interested and they do listen. Yes, when it comes to voting, we've got a problem, but I am slowly starting to chip away. We had one little success. Everyone thought I was completely insane, where we changed the wording in one of the pieces of legislation from must to may. In other words, the minister must do it, what it said, after about a year of arguing and convincing and begging and pleading, they agreed that we're going to change it to may. May means that at least the minister has to apply, and then it was her mind, it was Minister Olifant at the time, at least then she had to apply her mind, which meant that if they change to the wages in that particular industry were not thought out and well thought out, you could challenge it in court. With must, you can't challenge it in court. Now, for me, that was a massive success. And for me, it made everything worthwhile over that entire year. So it's chipping away at it. So yes, I do have hope.
Okay. And my final question is, if it's so obvious to someone like yourself who is involved in this every day, if economists are looking at it and fully understand it, and if someone like myself who is pretty, you know, unknowledgeable, or, you know, but gets a sense of what's going on out there, if everybody seems to understand what the problem is, why is there no solution to it? Why hasn't it been addressed?
Well, I think it's a difficult one because we're coming from different points of view. My understanding now very strongly with the governing party is that they're looking at a socialist future. Mm. It's a viewpoint that I come from a capitalist viewpoint, they come from a socialist viewpoint. You have to take that into account, and it's slowly, slowly. You can't suddenly say to someone, we all know this is wrong. Because people are going to say, no, we don't all know it's wrong. I think you and I might come from very similar backgrounds similar understanding. But if you're looking at a socialist future or even a communist future, I know it's dead around the world, but it's not dead here in South Africa.
Yeah,
looking at that sort of future, then you can understand why people are saying, no, we want to control business to the nth degree. We want all land to be owned by government. The whole thing sounds macabre. When I tell my colleagues, labor lawyers around the world, about some of the laws that we've got in our labor legislation, they're saying, but you're joking. That takes you back to the 1950s in Cuba. Well, and I say, well, that's where we are right now.